Well, this is an odd way to do worship. I am not sure what in the world we're doing, but we're going to figure this out together, and I hope you're safe and dry where you are. I'm looking out now, and it's turned back from rain to snow, and so we don't know what's going on, but I'm glad we're all safe at home and have worship together in this way, whatever way this is. So I want to give a few announcements real quick. The first one is we're going to have our congregational meeting next Sunday, January 23rd, after church. The session has placed in the nomination three names for new elders. They are Rod Hardy, Galen Riggs, and Sandra Young. So I hope you can be there next Sunday to be a part of that after church. February 6th, we're going to begin a new Sunday school class for 4 weeks. It's going to be on Cumberland Presbyterianism and Jenkins. So for those who want to know more about the Cumberland Presbyterian denomination and Jenkins Church in particular, we'll have a class for the next 4 weeks beginning on February 6th. We'll meet in conjunction with the Sunday school class that's in the classroom across from the kitchen. So be a part of that if you would like to know more about that. Paul Campbell, remember Paul Campbell turns 98 this week. I think it is going to be Tuesday he turns 98, if I remember right. If you would, on the online bulletin, you can find his address and his phone number, and we would love everybody to send a card or a phone call. Call the office if you can't get that information otherwise. And we'll give it to you, but Paul's turning 98, and we would love to honor him because he's been such a good servant to Jenkins Church. Parking lot, the donations keep coming in. Between the donations, the church savings, and pledges, we're at about $50,000, right at $50,000, in fact. And so we are well on our way to be able to get this parking lot done in the spring. So thank you so much, and we'll continue working through that. And also thanks to all those that came yesterday to the men's breakfast, all the men that came out. We had a wonderful time talking with a Men of Valor, the post-prison program, and look forward to be able to serve them coming up in some ways. Like we're going to try to put together maybe some hygiene packs to be able to send to some of the guys that are getting out of jail and help them in those first few days and weeks. So that's what's coming up as far as announcements. If you have any questions, make sure that you call the church or let us know, and we'll get those in. So let's have a moment of prayer, and then I want to talk about our scripture for just a few moments. Let's go to God in prayer. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for this day. Even if it's a weird day, we ask you, God, that you pull us together from these different places, allow us to feel a connection to each other, even if we're not sitting in the same room, and to bring us back together as soon as you're able so that we can have community together in the church, worshiping and serving and just knowing each other. We ask these things, God, because we know you are God, and that's why even on this weird day, on this dreary day, on this day we don't know what's kind of happening, we lift your name up knowing that in the end you have us safe and you have us fulfilled for life evermore. We thank you, God, for that, and we ask your blessings, and God's people said, amen. So because this is recorded, and you can pause it if you want to or whatever, I would love for you to go to read John 2, 1 through 11 just real quick. And this is, of course, the story of Jesus's first miracle, the one where he turned water into wine. And rather than me reading it, I hope you just pause the video and go and read it yourself real quick. Pick out some things that maybe intrigue you about it, and then come back to this video and we can talk about it together. So if you want to go and do that now, pause it. And when you hit play, I'll be preaching. So there you go. But when I read this scripture from even maybe a young age, or at least in the last many years before I kind of dug into it, I always wondered if maybe this seemed a little bit too much like a magic trick. Like, why is this the one miracle that Jesus used to kick off his ministry? That made no sense to me early on. It seems to me that there could have been a lot of other miracles that would have been a better fit to show the kingdom of God. You know, I'm sure Mary has twisted her ankle at some point, and Jesus could have performed a miracle there, or Dad was trying to sell his door frames and he couldn't sell them and the deal fell through, and Jesus could have taken care of the family, or maybe when somebody's house caught fire, he could have done something in the moment. And those all seem reasonable things to start Jesus's ministry off. But for some reason, that started in a different way in this wedding at Cana, and the miracle almost seems sophomoric. And so I've always wondered why in the world this was the miracle that Jesus used to begin his ministry. Why was this the sign that John used to say, Jesus has come to do these things? Why water into wine? You know, one of the things that continues and increasingly intrigues me is the idea of symbols. You know, if I write down four little squiggles on a piece of paper and you look at it, you can decipher what those squiggles mean, and you put the letters together and you form them into the word, and you might read the word love and it touches you and realize that I love you and I care for you. Or I might scribble another four letters and it might say hate and creates a different idea. But in the end, they're just squiggles, right? They're just marks on a piece of paper that we have used as symbols to determine that they mean something else. Language, what I'm using right now, they're just grunts and clicks of my mouth, and yet the air pressure changes make it to this microphone here, and the microphone sends it over the internet, and it comes out in your computer and creates the same air pressure changes, and it comes into your ear, and these grunts and clicks that I make become symbols that mean something else, or maybe they don't mean anything at all, but I think you get my point. Symbols are everywhere. Everything that we use, everything that we use to communicate are symbols. If I use a word, if I use the word God, we all have a different, small, different maybe understanding of what God means, what that symbol is that I use. And so everything we communicate in this world is based on symbols. Do I have the same meanings for the words I use as the ones you receive? That's sometimes the problem in communication, is we don't have the same meanings for our symbols. John wrote in symbols. There's almost nothing that John wrote that didn't have three or four layers of meanings to it. It wasn't just the simple first symbolic meaning, but there were multiple meanings. And the issue with reading then John, or really any book, but especially John, is that if we don't attach the same meanings, we don't get the same result from the story. And so when John uses these multiple meanings in this wedding at Cana, if we don't attach those same meanings that John might have had, then the story does kind of sound weird and sophomoric. Why didn't Jesus have a bigger miracle than that to kick off his ministry, you know? So I want to look at just a few minutes at these symbols and sort of put them together at the end and try to figure out what John was trying to say to us about who Jesus is, and then how we might apply it today. And we'll be short with this because it feels very weird talking to myself on a camera, but we're going to do this together. The first is this. When if you read the story, if you've paused and read it, one of the first things it said, I believe, is that on the third day, the wedding in Cana happened. On the third day, Christians ought to pick this one up, obviously. We've been celebrating the third day for 2,000 years. This is, of course, the day of resurrection. If you remember in John 1, when he began it, it says, in the beginning. John is always using these symbols from the past to speak to the future. And so John was writing this, who knows when, we have many ideas, but when he reached back, he said, in the third day, reminding us that what this story is about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so as Jesus begins his ministry in John, John says, on the third day, cueing us to say, why do you mean the third day? The second symbol reminds us of that and tells us why the third day was important. There was a wedding in Cana. Well, wedding is multi-layered again. From just the context of the day, weddings were a time when the whole community came together to celebrate a marriage. It almost didn't matter. It still mattered, but it almost didn't matter what your social class was. The lowest of the community would be invited to eat maybe the scraps, maybe the worst cuts of meat, but would join with other people to celebrate the wedding because a wedding was such a huge deal in that day. We have other symbols today for weddings, maybe the worship service or the ceremony that we have or honeymoons or whatever it is. But in that day, this was one of the understandings of weddings. Everybody came and everybody was included in that. And another symbol in that is if you look in John, but if you look in the other gospels too, Jesus is often seen as the bridegroom. We are in the wedding feast. As Jesus has come, the wedding has appeared, this wonderful moment when all people are brought in and included in the meal and celebrating and all this. And so that's been a long-term understanding of what it means in Scripture to have a wedding. This is the moment of Jesus, and Jesus is the bridegroom. So when you hear that idea, there was a wedding on the third day, we should already in this story be convicted or let it be suggested to us, rather, maybe, that what's happening is we're talking about the resurrection. And in the resurrection, there is a feast in which all people are invited. There's another, of course, symbol in the water basins. The water basins were part of the Jewish identity and part of their, how they communicated with each other, that they were clean, ritually clean. They washed themselves before meals and before different events. And so these water basins that were a symbol, or are a symbol, of faith, and they were empty. So in the middle of the feast, a host runs out of wine, which is just the most horrific thing in this day. How would you dare ever run out of wine when you've invited all these people? And so it's an embarrassing moment. And Mary, of all people, caught what happened. And she knew from a very early age what was going to happen, or from a very early on in the Jesus story, rather, what was going to happen with Jesus. And apparently in this moment, she recognized that this was a prime opportunity for Jesus to go ahead and announce who he was. And so she says, "Jesus, go and fix the problem." Maybe she recognized that Jesus had spent all the time at home that he could spend. Maybe she knew that it was time to kick him out of the nest and let him fly. I don't know, but she insisted this was the moment that he began his ministry. And he said, "It's not my time yet." And like a good mama, she said, "Oh, yes, it is. You just don't know it yet, honey." And had him go do his thing. So she called the stewards and said, "Do whatever it is that he tells you to do." So Jesus looked over at the basins, the faith that was empty. It was just dust in the bottom. There was no water left to do what the faith was supposed to do. It was dry. It was parched. And Jesus told the servants, "Go and fill it back up with the water that needs to be in it." Have the faith be what the faith needs to be, is maybe the symbolic way of saying that. And so they did. They filled it to the brim. They filled it as full as you can get. You know, when you pour too much water in your cup sometimes and you can't tilt it over to drink it, you got to kind of stick your mouth up to it and take a little drink first. That's how full it was. Jesus said, "Fill them completely full," and they did. And then he said, "Go and dip out what's in there." Now, it should have been water, right? He didn't say a prayer. He didn't ask God to do anything. It should have just been water. And yet, when they dipped it out, it was the new wine. Jesus had taken those ritual basins, filled them back up with what was supposed to be in them, and then made something new out of it. That's the symbol that we are supposed to see. So he told the servants to go take the wine to the steward, the head steward, and he did, or they did. And when the steward tasted it, he recognized that this wine was even better than the last wine. He said, "Most people, you know, bring out the good wine first. When everybody gets tipsy, they bring out the Boone's Farm, but not you, not then, not now. This is the new wine, and this wine is even better than the last wine." And we recognize in that God has created something new out of what God has already made, and that's the beauty of this story. All of this for John was a bunch of signs. They were symbols that Jesus is here to renew all things. That's what Jesus is here to do. Jesus is to come into this world in which the faith has been born, in which the creation was made, fill it back up with water, and create something new in it. And that goes for the faith, and that goes for everything. It goes for you and me as well. So I'm not sure what these symbols mean to you. I don't know what you've taken from this, or when you read it again, how it might affect your life or the life of those around you. But I wanted to share with you something that I took out of it that means something to me. He didn't begin the miracle by turning dust into wine. The beginning of the miracle was, fill that back up with the water that was supposed to have in it. Fill it all the way to the brim. And then Jesus did the miracle of creating something new out of it. I wonder if sometimes when I feel dry and parched, when I see something that's dry and parched, when there is something going on in my life or in the world around me, and I go and pray to God for that moment, or I expect God to act in that moment, I wonder if sometimes maybe I don't need to fill back up with water first. If I don't need to restore a little bit what this was intended to be so that God can work in it. Let me give you some examples. Maybe what I need to do in the midst of a dry season is go and read scripture deeply. Fill my well back up with the water that comes from reading the scriptures, that touches my soul, that feeds me knowledge and information, that that affects me in the spirit no different than it was affected when it was written. Maybe part of filling up my parched basin is going and reading scripture to recognize and to remember what this entire story is about. Can God work in me if I go do that? Maybe part of it is I need to reflect. Maybe part of it is I'm just too busy in this world and I need to sit down sometime and let God speak to me and create something new in me as I reflect on what it's supposed to be, look like for me to be a person that walks in the way of Christ. Maybe I need to fill myself up with water by reflecting and then let God work in the midst of that. Or service. You know, sometimes we say this world is this or that. Maybe what we need to do is go and serve, fill ourselves up with water by serving, by going and showing people and showing organizations and showing whole communities how much we love and care for them by how much we serve them. This way, maybe God can work in us so that when we fill ourselves back up with service, God creates something new in us that shows us a new season. We can do this with all sorts of ways. My point is that God didn't, or Jesus rather, didn't create wine out of dust. He refilled the basins with water and then the good wine came out. So again, I don't know what that means in your life. I'm not even sure what that means in my life. But as I was reading this scripture, I was looking at the symbols that John showed us. One of the things I recognized is that it had to be filled back up, the basins did, had to be filled back up with water before Jesus was able to do the miracle, or at least until Jesus decided to do the miracle. He can turn whatever into wine that he wants to, I suppose. But in this situation, it had to be filled back up with water first. And I think it all, a lesson to all of us, that we need to make sure that we are filled up before we expect God to start working. So take that with you. Do what you choose and know that next Sunday I'll be back and we'll be in the worship service together pending any more crazy snow or whatever weather. And I look forward to seeing you then, and we will fill the basins up with water and pray that God does something amazing in our lives. Let's go to God in prayer one more time. Lord, this is not how we want to do church. This is not how we want to be together, not by the internet and not by, not being together in a place. We ask, God, that you allow us to be back together very soon. Allow the goodness of this creation to show, and we come together and we lift up your name and we pray and we sing and we talk and we listen. And we do that, God, because you are the one who does make all things new. Fill us this week. Allow us to help us fill our basins full of the goodness of this creation. And then we ask, God, that you show us where you create things anew. And we will say, Lord, you have brought the good even after the good was here. And we will praise your name for it. We ask this in your name. And God's people said, amen. You all take care and God bless.